All right, everybody, good morning and welcome to a not so rapid reacts following the OTB Open. It is Memorial Day. I hope you're not up in the morning listening to this podcast live with us in the Discord because you are still sleeping and getting ready for a beautiful day, depending on where you live. I mean, I'm in Chicago, Josh, and it is just spectacular today. It's 85, it's sunny. How's Memorial Day shaping up for you?
Oh, very, very much the same. It's very nice here. I'm gonna hop off Rapid Reacts, and then we're jumping over and going and playing around to disc golf. So gonna be great.
Tremendous. You sound a little sleepy, Josh. Should I wake you up?
I'm a little sleepy. I'm not gonna lie to you, Charlie.
Sorry to wake you up early on Memorial Day.
It's all right. Nope. It's all right. We got a pod we gotta do, and here we are. So. I went late. I went to bed later than was expecting because I was not planning on being up at 6:30. So,
I apologize for not being around last night.
How's College Nationals going?
Oh my God, it's been tremendous. Great. It has been tremendous. I'm telling you, folks, you gotta watch some of these games. We have one game on our YouTube. From semis yesterday, the Stanford versus
British Columbia
play. I already forgot. Was it UBC?
Semi? Yeah, I think it was UBC, wasn't it?
Semis. Yeah. Great game. One of the craziest like hits I've ever seen. It could have been an ejection. And like that player Ella Bolin, who's like probably the second best player on UBC. Is concussed and won't play in the finals today.
She's out.
Yeah, probably. That's what we heard last night. I know, it's a disaster. Oh. And then the Colorado Carlton game, which is on Ulti World for standard subscribers and up, which you know most of you won't be because you're just on the mini subscription. But man, if you wanted to watch a great college ultimate frisbee game or just a great ultimate game in general, this is going to be an all-time classic. Under the lights in the stadium, truly epic. I mean, I really implore people to check it out. Like, if you like frisbee, and everybody here does, it was an insane game. So, anyway, it's all going great. Today, I'm the producer for the ESPNU broadcast of the finals. I am doing this for the first time. I've never done a linear television broadcast before. I really have no idea what I'm doing to some extent. And so wish me luck.
Best of luck, Charlie. It's going to go great. It's going to go great. You got this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Quick, one really fast question. Did Utah get the crap kicked out of them?
No. I mean, dang it. I don't know what they, I don't think they made the bracket, but they didn't like get absolutely trounced. I think they won a game. They definitely hung in there. Sorry to disappoint.
That's all right. I will. I'll chill a little bit. It would have been nice to hear, but.
All right. Well, we had some great disc golf this weekend, and wow, how about in MPO, Calvin Heimberg winning in a playoff over Gannon Burr, and you know, that's just gonna warm the hearts of so many people. You know, it's no surprise to see Calvin succeed at this course. But you figure when Gannon's coming back and Calvin has those bogeys in the middle of the round, it's like, oh my gosh, he's going to give it up, but just smashes the putt at the 18th, has to have it to go to the playoff. And first win of the year for Calvin, right? So, and he's now, I think, seventh all time in Elite Series and major wins. Pretty awesome stuff from the Heimborg.
Yeah, you know, you said warms the hearts. It thaws the permafrost a little bit from the Iceman. So nice one to see. Listen, I thought there was zero shot that he was going to win this tournament. Zero. When Gannon is coming back like that, I mean, and it's funny because, boy, does that putt on 16 feel a little like reminiscent of a certain putt last year. I mean, it's not the same putt, right? And Calvin hits a edge circle putt on 18 to push the playoff, and so you know you could say that one too. But that deep circle two putt in on hole 16 to save the bogey, really was like it was like, oh my gosh, like Calvin did it again. It's he's staring in the face of just disaster again. And just crushes a putt and is able to keep himself in it because of it. And, you know, very, very reminiscent of the European Disc Golf Festival, when he hit that. And here's the thing that's, you know, credit to Calvin. When Calvin has struggled in final rounds, you know, he gets off his lines a little bit, but the other thing that happens is his putter leaves him. He starts missing low and hits cage. Historically, it starts hitting low on the cage. And Calvin's, like, Gannon is the better circle one putter, generally. Calvin went 8-for-8 circle one in the final round. Mm-hmm. And if you are going to continue, like, if you're hitting all of your circle one putts, you have a bigger margin for the quote-unquote, like the quote-unquote, collapse in the final round, because you're not bleeding two strokes on every hole from the missed drive and then a missed putt. It's missed drive, you lost one stroke, but you make your putt, so you're good. And that is going to give you so much more of a cushion than if you go back to missing putts. So credit to Calvin stepping up, going 100% from C1X to make sure that he's able to close this tournament.
So Gannon, as is pointed out in the chat, has not won a four-round tournament yet this season. Do you think that's meaningful at all? I mean, to me, when you lose in a playoff and you're 8 shots ahead of the next best player in third, I mean, yes, you lost technically, but you should really look at it as a complete toss-up. Like,
right,
it's more or less random who's going to win when you go to a playoff.
Right.
And so I mean I just still think, you know, Gannon has not always been rock solid enough in the early rounds to put himself in a spot where he can play that really hot round late and win. Like, he'll be close. He'll put himself in a position to win if another player plays poorly, but that hasn't been happening. And so he's winless so far in these longer tournaments, which you wouldn't expect based on the ratings, the history of his performance in four rounders, et cetera.
And I think the other part to this is that we're seeing just a little bit is the same consequence that we saw last year, which is Gannon is playing better or the same level generally, but other people are stepping up and playing well. And this is going to have to be an interesting, like, I want to do a little bit better of a look and more stats, but you look at, like, now Open at Austin. I mean, everyone just kind of played worse at Open at Austin except Yuli, right? Like, I think a 10.55 rated win is pretty low. So that Open Austin is 10.55 rated. Like, that feels a little low. But, like, here, Calvin and Gannon shooting 10.66 for the win. Maybe he's having, like, more issues. I really do think you've gotten players that are just playing a bit better. And they play a little better. You know, Gannon pushed the game up over the past 2 years. And so other players play a little bit better. And Gannon is going to have to find another year if he wants to keep replicating success. Now, obviously, Gannon, like, still having a phenomenal season, but we're very quickly, like, the greatest season of all time it might be put to rest already.
It's not dead yet. It's not quite dead yet, because he could still on a generational run here and win a bunch in a row and win the rest of the majors. But
it's 1 foot in the grave.
Odds are at, like, 2% at this point. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, and he's clearly still been the best player this season.
Of course.
And he still feels like someone needs to be in your picks every week. Nothing has changed on this front. So
yeah. Yep.
I think it's a, it's just like you expect him to win. So when he doesn't win, you're like, ah, he didn't win.
Yeah, right, right.
What a crazy level of expectation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
On the FPO side, Holland Handley gets it done and reestablishes maybe what you might call the top of the pecking order. I mean, we keep expecting Holland to be this player, and she doesn't necessarily come through week to week. But on a course that I think really suits her game, she beats Silva Saarinen by 4 shots. Owen Scoggins does finish on the podium, but 8 shots back of Holland. And I mean, a lot of the players we thought would do well did do well here at OTB. But I think Holland's got to feel good about starting to get some of the rhythm back that we've seen leave her the last couple of tournaments.
Speaking of another player who I didn't think was going to be able to close out their tournament, when we get to after hole five, so Holland starts with handful of strokes on Silva. Hole one, they both birdie. You're like, great. Silva gets one. You're like, no big deal. Then Holland drops one, and you're like, all right. And they both get one. And you're like, okay. And then Silva gets another, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like. They're tied. They're tied after five. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, here it comes again. What is going on? And then, you know, we're going. Holland gets a stroke back on the eighth. And then there's the 2-stroke swing on the ninth. And that's what, like, it was over. It was done right there. It was funny because I was watching the front nine. I watched the front nine, paused it. We went to lunch. And then I came back. And I was like, okay, here we go. Like, we got Holland Silva in this, like, tight. Or we watched the front seven is what it was. I was like, we got Holland and Silva in this tight battle. I'm like, really excited to watch this. And then I get back, and then just, like, snooze fest. Holland takes 3 strokes in 2 holes. And while Silva gets one back after that, I mean, it was just over at that point, basically. Not over, but it gave much more. Exciting. And so it was good on Holland for closing it out, because I really did think she was going to give it away.
Lance drops it in the chat. Best in the world, asterisk, for 2 weeks. And it has Owen Scoggins crossed out, Holland Handley crossed out, Silva Saarinen crossed out, Owen Scoggins crossed out, back to Holland Handley. But, I get the joke here. I think it goes to show you that what we came into the season thinking was true. There is no clear and obvious number one player. And some of these players have had their moments. All of these players have had their moments so far this season. And I would say that list, Holland, Owen, Silva, has separated a little bit from players like Missy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously the Finns have had some success, but they haven't been as consistent as these three. But I just don't think anything is settled. And I don't think if you go into Worlds tomorrow that you would feel like you could say this player is the favorite. I just think we have a very capable top end of FPO. The quality is there, but there's not the kind of separation we're seeing from a player like Gannon Burr over on the MPO side.
Yep. We're joking. The point of the joking. hey Charlie, you know what people's favorite thing is when we start speculating on player of the year, like week in and week out, like just every single week, new tournament player of the year talk for FBO, right? Like, it's okay. Right. I think the point I was gonna make is we joke about, like, oh, Holland grabbed one here, right? Like, okay, sick. I'm not convinced though that puts Holland in a clear player of the year spot.
Oh, it's probably time to just not talk about it for a while until somebody
makes
substantial push of, you know, winning 3 more tournaments or something. Yes. Because I don't think you could make a clear call right now, and I don't really want to hash this out every time a new player wins a tournament in Rapid Reacts.
Right. But Charlie, why not? Like, that's just what we do, I thought. No, but here's the other thing though, I think is noteworthy is, and this kind of goes back to your point, Charlie, that, you know, we kind of made through the season and started kind of dropping on is like I would not have expected us to be having the is Owen the best player in the world conversation. I would have expected us to be having the Haaland one, and that has not been happening. Nice to see Haaland closing out a win that she should be getting when she's coming to the final round with these kind of strokes.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just going to be that different players excel on different weekends for various reasons. The putter feels good. The course is a good fit.
Yes.
The drive is locked back in. There's no way to decide going into an event, I don't think, whether one player is going to win over another. It's just muddy, and that's cool because it means it's really exciting because you can get different stuff every week.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Can I add one thing really fast?
Yeah.
To that, somebody said, where'd somebody say? Where was it? Someone made the joke. They said, "You know who is an FPO? Missy Gannon." And here's what's funny. So right now you've got Haaland, Owen, Silva, who are like those are, I think. They've clearly separated themselves. You can just see it on the DGPT standings and points. Like, those three are very close to each other. Silva's missed two events, so she's a little further back, but, like, they're separated. Then you have Missy and Ella after that. You're right. Missy is not yet. But, like, this is Missy's, like, warm-up half of the season. We don't expect Missy to do anything until you get back from Europe. Once Missy comes back from Europe, that's when she just like goes full sicko mode and just starts winning half of the events that are left. So you're right, not yet, but I think you get back from Europe and we're going to have some really exciting storylines when Missy gets in the mix there too.
You certainly can't rule it out. Not the way she's played in the back end of the season for the last like 5 years. But Gibbon points out, Missy has been clearly a step behind her level of performance since she's been up at the top for, you know, since COVID, basically. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you have to be worried about it, right? I mean, to me, I felt like I saw her turn the corner, but maybe not on some timing issues with her drives. She's just not looked good for most of this season off the tee pad. And the putting's actually been good. I mean, the putting's maybe better than it's ever been. She's been really, really good in C1, one of the best putters on tour. But the driving has been way too inconsistent, just like spraying it. And until she solves that, I don't think we're going to see her winning. But if and when she does, we're going to see her jump right back up to the top because the rest of her game looks fine.
Okay, so ready, Charlie? Here's what you want to... I'm gonna put a small little counterpoint to you here. You said we're not seeing her at the level, like, kind of turning the corner. You ready for her start? Now, last year, OTB Open was Champions Cup. She wins that tournament. This year, right. Not big money, so obviously, you know, she didn't win the Champions Cup. But take Champions Cup out last year, right? Let me tell you how she starts her season last year. 15th FSO, 4th at Waco, 23rd Open at Austin, 5th at MCO, 4th at Kansas City Wide Open. She's had a better start to this season. Excluding the win prior to, like, up until the West Coast swing, she had a better start this season than last season.
It shows you how narratives shape everything.
It does.
And how winning, like, a major heals all wounds.
And it does. But my point is like, we look at this and we want to go, oh, man, we just expect more from Missy. I actually don't think we do. I do not think we expect more from Missy right now. We finish the season and we go, oh man, it's Missy. And then we like spend the entire front half of the season getting our expectations down. And then Missy like flips it around as we get into the season. So I'm saying, right. I'm not stressed.
I have to cut it short today because I've got much to do and
understood.
Television broadcasts happening in a few hours. So quickly, dogs of the weekend, yes. And then we're out of here.
Okay. Would you like to do dogs first? Do you want to take dog first dog or do you want me to take dog?
I'll take dog. I'll start an FPO. I'm going Rebecca Dawn, top 5.
Great. Easy. Great pick. Congratulations to Rebecca Dawn. Give me Taylor Chosik. has another nice weekend and gets the ace.
Love the ace.
Love the ace.
Chosek, if she keeps improving, she's going to be a top five player within 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 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 oh. I said, I don't know if I was expecting top five from you there. interesting. We're going to have to talk about that. But she's playing well and she's getting better. So I'm excited to see it.
Josh, MPO dog?
MPO dog. Zachary Nash.
This guy keeps playing great. I don't know what to tell you.
Yes. And the other thing, and like, listen, maybe I'm like, I'm going to. I watched Jomez round one or two. Jomez round two, I think, this weekend. I caught one of my days. I supplemented with my Jomez, and they talked about it kind of ad nauseum. And so I'm gonna parrot this just a little bit. Nash's like slow to explosive form is pretty spectacular to watch. It was pretty spectacular. He's a great thrower. And I like watching him. I'm excited. I'm really excited for Zachary Nash.
I'm going Gavin Babcock, podium finish. We had the moment there where we might get the Yuli Babcock back to back. Wouldn't that have been incredible?
It would have been so cool. Oh my gosh.
That would have been awesome. And like, I guess they don't really have beef, but Gavin Babcock needs to learn how to like tailor his tone on social media because it didn't come across as joking. Yeah.
Can I offer one extra dog?
Please.
Nate Perkins for our delightful hot mic moment as
a top contender in the gap bracket. Can you just watch the fucking golf? He should have dropped an F bomb. It would have been immense. Yeah, I don't know. I guess the Euro crew was doing the FPO productions this weekend. And I don't actually know the context of what was wrong. Trust me, graphics are wrong a lot on DGN. Like, it's hard. You're putting up what shot number it is. And, like, you have to keep track because you're often playing it back behind live. So I know they make mistakes. We all make mistakes on the air when you're on for 4 hours. And it's like, you don't have 50 people in the truck, you have like five.
Right.
So, you know, I understand, but I also know like it is frustrating as a broadcaster if like stuff is wrong or like things aren't making sense. And they have, you know, they didn't have their typical production team doing those shows. And somebody actually emailed in and was like, what the hell was the DGN coverage this weekend? It was awful. So, you know, it's hard to get better if you don't give people an opportunity to be in the spot, like doing the production. But, yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, and then the hacking of PDGA Live.
Because oh, yeah, that's what they, like, released the code, and then people could, like, go in and change the scores. They set the
code on coverage. Oh, man. We had a couple of good things to talk about for this weekend, so I'm excited for the main show, but great reacts. Charlie, best of luck producing for
ESPN. Thank you. You can tune in, folks. It's on ESPNU if you want to watch the finals. You know, see how I do.
Please, Charlie. And someone said this earlier, so I'm just shamelessly stealing it. Don't make the gaff brackets on ESPN.
Oh, God, dude. I'm going to try not to. Listen, if there's a mistake, it's someone else's fault. Understand? Director blew it.
We're right, graphics right blew off it. Rip. We're right in off rip.
The championship games in the women's division, which is the first game, is UBC versus Carleton. It's a rematch of last year's final. These teams are incredibly good. Carleton is undefeated on the season. And UBC beat them last year in the final. And so can they do it again? It all comes down to this.
Missing their best
player. On the men's side, Carleton taking on UMass, a team that did not have a good season, was ranked around 10th, and then has just absolutely come alive, and they look amazing. But Carleton has been, they won the championship last year. They're extremely good. They're going to be the favorites, but UMass is super red hot right now and has been playing a little bit more explosive defense, I think. So it's going to be two great games.
Sweet. I'll be tuning in, Charlie. So
sounds good. Really good. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you on Wednesday this week for the main show. Peace.